Our first reading today is from Psalm 51, verses 1 through 7. Generous in heart, God, give grace. Huge in mercy, wipe out my bad record. Scrub away my guilt. Soak out my sins in your laundry. I know how bad I've been. My sins are staring me down. You're the one I've violated. And you've seen it all, seen the full extent of my evil. You have all the facts before you. Whatever you decide about me is fair. I've been out of step with you for a long time, in the wrong since before I was born. What you're after is truth from the inside out. Enter me then, conceive a new, true life. Soak me in your laundry, and I'll come out clean. Scrub me, and I'll have a snow-white life. And the second reading is from Matthew 22, verses 1 through 10. It's the story of a wedding banquet. Jesus responded by telling still more stories. God's kingdom, he said, is like a king who threw a wedding banquet for his son. He sent out servants to call in all the invited guests, but they wouldn't come. He sent out another round of servants, instructing them to tell the guests, "Look, everything is on the table. The prime rib is ready for carving. Come to the feast." They only shrugged their shoulders and went off, one to weed his garden, another to work in his shop. The rest, with nothing better to do, beat up on the messengers and then killed them. The king was outraged and sent his soldiers to destroy those thugs and level their city. Then he told his servants, "We have a wedding banquet all prepared, but no guests. The ones I invited weren't up to it. So go out into the busiest intersections in town and invite anyone you can find to the banquet." The servants went out on the streets and rounded up everyone they laid eyes on, good and bad, regardless. And so the banquet was on, every place filled. That concludes today's readings.
You and I, most of us at least, had the privilege to grow up with the Bible. We sort of got it in with mother's milk, grew up, many of us. Not everybody had the privilege. So, with your permission, I'm going to test your memory about what we all learned since we were little. By simply asking a simple question, namely, what would you say was really the focus of the message of Jesus? I repeat, what would you say was really the focus of the message of Jesus Christ? Was it all his teachings? Was it his sacrifice? Was it about heaven? Was it about resurrection? Or was it about eternal life? Did Jesus focus on his personal divinity and holiness? Was it the development of a private, one-on-one spiritual relationship between the individual and God? Lot of questions. Now, I think some of us already decided, I think it's that one. Bad news, clearly not. None of these. They're all important. They all are all part of our Christian faith. But none of these was the focus of Jesus. Now, in the Greek text, the message of Jesus centered on three words with only one possible translation. Basileia to Theou. You Greeks will understand. It says, the kingdom of God. The dominant theme in the Gospels and the center of the proclamation of Jesus was this one phrase, summing up his whole ministry and his whole life's work. Jesus directed and subordinated his every thought, his every saying, to one single subject: the realization of the reign of God upon the earth, as it is in heaven, so also on earth. He taught us to pray. Now, in our scripture reading today, Jesus said, what is God's kingdom like? His answer is, God's kingdom is like a king who threw a wedding banquet for his son. He sent out his servants to call all the invited guests. However, bad news, they would not come. So he sent out another round of servants, instructing them to tell the guests, look, everything is already on the table. The prime rib is ready for carving. Come to the feast. Still, they would not come. Excuses, excuses, excuses. Now, speaking of excuses, listen to this. This poor man forgot his wife's birthday, and when he suddenly remembered, he said to her, now, how could you expect me to remember your birthday? You never look any older at all. And I've heard about the prisoner who told the judge, Your Honor, it's not my fault, it's my wife's fault. She kept whining that she wanted a mink stole for her birthday. What could I do? Excuses, excuses. Now, in the story that Jesus told, to the surprise and dismay of the host, excuses came pouring in, invited. No one came. In short, all the invited guests decided, forget it, not going. I'll find an excuse. That's not for me. Now, in the Bible, this benevolent host was disappointed, of course. He was also offended, and he was very unhappy. All the food cost a fortune, and his wife was weeping. He would get them back. Language of our time, oh yeah. Who do they think they really are? No more, he decided. Never again any kind of invitation to these ungrateful individuals. He would show them. He decided this banquet that he prepared was still going to be the greatest one ever, to top all others. Only one thing was different. He was going to do it without the previously invited guests. What did he do? Bible says he sent some of his employees down into one of the worst sections of town and said to them, I am going to offer my banquet anyway. Take whoever will come. That was his instruction to the messengers. Take whoever will come. Poor people, rich people, respectable people, winos, beggars, sick people. Whoever you come across, I don't care. I want that dining hall filled for that banquet. Now, let's go a bit deeper. See, initially, Jesus invited the religious elite amongst the Jews of his time. That's where he preached first. He was 12 years old, and his parents found him in the temple. He was speaking to them repeatedly, and we read in the Gospels that they were following him, seeking an excuse to get something seriously enough against him so that they could get rid of him. They rejected him. They prosecuted them, and finally they crucified him. They assumed that God's kingdom, God's justice, and God's righteousness were reserved for them and only for them, no one else. So they looked down, created separate classes, and decide who was going to be received and who was going to be rejected. That's what the religious people of his time did. Well, first of all, they rejected all those who did not think and believed exactly as they did. Oh, they had another test for the men. If they were not circumcised, they were out. Or frequenters of the temple. If they didn't come to temple regularly according to their prescription, no more. So, you can summarize it like this: whatever made them different from others, whenever they came across somebody that didn't fit into their mold, there was a huge unwelcome sign out for all those. And it included more than 95% of the people surrounding the temple in those days. Let's go still a bit deeper. What happened? In that moment, in the ministry of Jesus, the invitation changed its focus. In that moment, the invitation went global. And from that day on, from Jerusalem, the invitation went out to all the corners of the world. No matter whom you are or where you are, the instruction of Jesus was, you are invited. You are welcome. Very welcome. Now just imagine all those who accepted the invitation and actually arrived at the feast had an unforgettable treat. And we know that this treat was the first for many, many of them. Because amongst them were the outcasts of their community. Among them were all those who were socially unacceptable. Among them were all those who never landed on an invitation list anyway. Yeah. Those who were alone, outside in the dark, rejected, unwanted, uncelebrated, unappreciated. So Jesus at that time told a story that would become a cornerstone of Christian teachings for all ages. Those in the story who rejected God's invitation, they were the ones who were once, in those days, considered the privileged, the chosen, the naturals to be at the feast of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So in this particular parable, the religious upper class represented these groups. And in those days, for all times, Jesus broadened the list and included those who were of different color, the Samaritans, or class, or sexual orientation, or a different religion, or even of a different political conviction of those days. Oh yeah, the zealots were amongst them. All those who were considered to be living at the wrong side of the rails were rejected without argument, without reason. Well, like in our times, so many times in the history of the world, then was also a time of great turmoil. Jesus spoke about God and God's kingdom. Jesus spoke about God's love and God's forgiveness for many, including those who did not fit into their society and their prejudices and their misguided morals. Even to them, He looked right through them. He made noticeable for all ages their hypocrisy, their selfish pride, their inflated opinion of themselves. They were the chosen ones, just a few, but that's us. That's our class. You stay away and welcome all the others. If you study the Bible, you'll see that He even knew at that time that some of those who were actually following Him were two-faced and insincere. Brother, sister in Christ, why was the ancient wedding feast so very special? Why was it such a deadly serious matter for Jesus? Why was it so important in those days and then to arrive at the table prepared by Jesus Christ? Think about it. Jesus proclaimed God's kingdom with room for everyone. We dare not withhold God's love and blessings for anyone. Because through the ages, the true church of Jesus Christ would consist of people, some of whom were hurting, some who are lonely, many of those who were rejected by their hypocritical societies. Present, according to the Bible, at God's feast are people who are going under in the battle to find peace and truth and justice. The tables at this feast are spread with all the blessings of God, forgiveness and deliverance from lives wasted in the shallow presence of things that could never satisfy anyway, like God's favor and love for all, peace of conscience, and the promises of the gospel and the comforts of the Spirit. Let's look at this feast, the so-called earthly kingdom that Jesus was proclaiming. It's a feast designated for two things: love and reconciliation. It was a place where former enemies sit together, where they were reconciled in the presence of a mighty God, greater, bigger than themselves and their prejudices. God's kingdom is planned for rejoicing, for fullness and fellowship. In my old South African way of thinking, Jesus was challenging the apartheid of his times. And don't worry, I did say it from pulpits in South Africa many a time. And for all times, when he declared that God's invitation was not only for the select few, it was for all who would heed the invitation and join the feast. It was directed to all who would come, the righteous and the unrighteous alike. And that brought me to the joy of the gospel. This truth made me excited to get into the pulpit today, because here is the invitation of Scripture. Oh, come, come to the feast. Is it time for a banquet in your life? Through Jesus, God offers a place of honor in the kingdom of God for all. All they needed to do was to accept the invitation, to cut the excuses, and to arrive at God's table of love and forgiveness. No matter who you are or where you are in life's journey, you are welcome at God's table. And you have now received another invitation, even this morning, to God's richly loaded table. One question remains. Will you accept today? Remember that Jesus also said, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden," said Jesus, "is light." You are invited. Today I believe in the presence of God that I have delivered the message. Is it time for a banquet in your life? Please respond, just as I am. You will receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because your promise, "I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." Just as I am, your love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be yours and yours alone, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Wonderful God, how we thank you, how we praise you, for the truth of the gospel, for the focus of the message of Jesus Christ. Thank you for speaking to us through your love, through your forgiveness, through your word. Bring us home, O God. So many of us accept the invitation. We thank you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.